Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Jasmine on the line. Jasmine, are you in fact with me?
Good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, that's a lovely surprise. I'm very relieved because I was really looking forward to chatting to you this afternoon. Jasmine, you're a bit of a regular with us here on Chai FM, hey?
I am truly honored, I must say. And thank you to your listeners for listening to my Angel of Doom and Gloom news.
Okay, so it's been a very interesting week because the various news sources have been reporting on an upsurge of activity in respect of the insurgency in Mozambique. I know that we've touched on this some time ago, but it was a long time ago. Jasmine, maybe give us some context and remind us, why is there an insurgency in Mozambique in the first place?
To understand the insurgency, you have to go to as far back as 2010. Then we first signs of local dissatisfaction came to the fore. But in 2017, it crossed the threshold into violence, where you had severe brutal attacks against villages. Now, the cause of this is all embedded within the local context of Cabo Delgado, with a high level of discontent towards a failure of government. But in 2019, we saw the Islamic State Central Africa province coming into play. 35 claims later, they are in the process of hijacking the narrative, of bringing in foreigners, of converging the local dissatisfaction with the extremist Takfir ideology, to the extent that we have Islamic State propaganda running. We see ISIS flags flying whenever they take control of a district capital. So the insurgency, though local in its roots, has gained an extremist element that cannot be ignored.
Jasmine, let's rewind a little bit further. Just let me understand the population makeup in that northern part of Mozambique. If you were to explain to me the population, who lives there?
Look, we are in terms of religious breakdown, etc. Ethnic groups like the Makondes, like the Makars, that have a history of tensions and conflict. The Makondes specifically, your more aggressive type. But you must remember, we're also sitting with a predominant Muslim community in that area. And it's here where we find extremist elements bringing in a voice in which they use the religion to their own benefit. And specifically, we saw that in Mukojo, where things like drinking were simply not allowed, where they started applying Sharia law. And that has just triggered the whole process. Is this an inter-religious tension in Cabo Delgado? No, it is not. Christians and Muslims have been living peacefully for years. But yeah, what is happening is that the Islamic State is trying to project this as a battle now between Muslims and Christians, between ethnic rivalry groups, and hence you are seeing so much concern with what is happening in Cabo Delgado. But we are talking about unskilled, low education, a youth that is frustrated, that do not see any benefits from the LNG oil and gas sector and feel that it's time to show their discontent.
And what's the aim? What are the stated aims of the movement, Jasmine?
To put it simply, initially the insurgency was clearly a voice of discontent towards government. But what we are seeing now, whenever they are taking control of district capitals, like Makumia, the last one, they didn't kill civilians, but where they found civilians drinking, they killed them. Where they are in control of areas, Kusanga, as an example, they are applying types of Sharia law. You can continue with agricultural activities if you do have a pass. You can, and you will not be targeted if you are adhering to what we want to implement, and by that, I am referring to extremist Takfir ideology, according to the Islamic State.
And you say that's a majority Muslim population up in Cabo Delgado?
Yes, majority Muslim. Yes.
Very, and very yes, sad and heartbreaking. I mean, I'm just looking at a map because I wanted to place Cabo Delgado. If I have to explain it, it's up on the northeast section of Mozambique, exactly in the Pemba area where all the LNG exploration is happening. I mean, this province should have been the beacon of light and the hope for the rest of Mozambique over the forthcoming years.
It should have been. And it's ironic if you go back in history that the freedom struggle against Portuguese rule started in Cabo Delgado, that the president actually comes from Moheda in Cabo Delgado. But what we have seen is a government that was initially in denial, then went on into conspiracy theory of who is responsible, then they call it bandits, then they call it organized crime, and now they are admitting that the Islamic State is present, but note the narrative. They are not admitting to local failures. They are saying this is out and out an external influence, which it is not. It is part of the complexity of this insurgency, but the root causes is a history of governance failure. And with the LNG sector, and the realization of the benefits for Mozambique, Mozambique is starting to pay serious attention to Cabo Delgado.
No, I'm just wondering what the solution is. That's where I'm going with this. I'm just wondering if there's been any example anywhere worldwide of a similar situation that's been diffused and that hasn't exploded.
If you look at the Niger Delta in Nigeria, I think that's a very good example to use. Where you have oil and gas companies surviving in highly volatile areas. And they've got a good history in that. They know how to survive in these areas. But the problem we are sitting with is with the Islamic State now coming into play. And what we are seeing is Islamic State evolving from scratch. Now, then you start looking at areas such as Burkina Faso, Mali, Lake Chad, where government inability to address the root causes actually assists the insurgents, gives them oxygen, gives them recruits. And if intervention is not going to take place quickly, effectively and in an accountable manner, I'm afraid we're going to see the Islamic State finding a permanent footprint for the first time in the history of this specific region.
What a stark warning you've given us, Jasmine. Jasmine Opperman, analyst at the Armed Conflict Location and Events Data Project. As always, Jasmine, thank you for your very sober analysis and for opening our eyes to a problem which is literally just next door.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.